Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Joe Cook, got Eric Nalin here. We just got done watching the first day of Texas Longhorns preseason practice. Got to see almost an hour, which is a little bit rare for what we're able to do, and get a good look at offense, defense, special teams. Steve Sarkisian speaking. We got Evan Veith there. He's got takeaways. We've both got takeaways up over on Inside Texas, so make sure you go check that out. $1 will get you a week's worth of access. There's also some other great perks to check out, so that link is also in our description. Make sure also go by Paul Wadlington's Thinking Texas Football. A lot of stuff that we saw today reaffirms what he wrote about every position, every player, SEC opponent, SEC member, the landscape of college football, and of course, Eric wrote about the 2025 class. And I think that's where we need to start, the 2025 class. One of the key members of that class was Grayson Littleton from Tampa, Wiregrass Ranch. Kind of a late add to the class, a former Clemson commit. And that's someone who, you know, when you're that late of an addition to the class, you may not just pick up momentum with fans, and you may not be known about as much, but he drew a ton of praise throughout the spring. He drew a lot of praise on Tuesday from the coaches, and there he is, first string at star on here on Wednesday.
Yeah, he was drawing praise his first couple of days on campus. That's in January. And as you noted, he already has an I-35 tattoo on his arm. So hopefully he must really like traffic, or he hasn't spent much time in it yet. Basically, what we saw today lived up to everything that we'd heard about and reported previously. The coaches are all over him, which is a good sign. He's not messing up. They're trying to coach him up in anticipation of him playing quite a bit this year. You saw him out there with the first team at Star. We reported he's been working there quite a bit with Wardell Mack. Jelani McDonald's worked there as well. But today was with the first team, and also they're riding him very hard on special teams. He's going to be out there. He was covering gunners today, and they're coaching him up hard. Him and Ricky Stewart were the two true freshmen. They were coaching the hardest on special teams. Grayson Littleton clearly has a bright future. I always go back to what I heard right after he committed, basically flipped from Clemson. He did go visit Michigan, but it was basically a flip to Texas. And that person said he's like a faster Malik Muhammad. As we all know, Malik Muhammad's a cerebral player that was ready to play very early in his career at Texas. Littleton seems like he's the same way.
Kind of going back secondary up front, no surprises really. Michael Taft, Jelani McDonald there at safety. We know that at some point when we're not there, they're going to mix and match. And we're going to get the notes from that on Inside Texas. Corner, we saw Jalen Gilbo. We saw Kobe Black on the corner spot opposite of Malik Muhammad. And that really seems to be one of the big battles in the secondary this camp.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Kobe Black versus Jalen Gilbo outside of D tackles, the position on defense we're going to cover the most. Maybe now, maybe something will materialize at linebacker with Trey Moore, Leon LaFau. We're not sure of that yet. But yeah, Kobe Black, Jalen Gilbo, it's kind of one thing I noted today was there is a lot of length in that secondary. You know, Zealous Hicks was out there, obviously a true freshman. Jonah Williams was out there. Of course, he didn't participate a lot, but he's super long. Cade Phillips, super, super long. There's just a lot of length. So you kind of have Kobe Black as like the prototype, but then Jalen Gilbo has the experience. And, you know, the staff often selects for that experience, trust. They know what to expect in certain situations. That's going to be a good battle. Both are moving around pretty well, though.
Linebacker, not a ton of surprises. Anthony Hill, Trey Moore, Mike, Bo Barnes, their third string. Leon Golafau, Ty Anthony Smith, Marshall Landwehr. One of the two last vestiges of that 5-7 team there at the Will spot. They had Trey Moore playing some Sam, but let's go to the defensive line. No surprises at edge, Ethan Burke, Colin Simmons. Defensive tackles where we were paying attention. Hero Canoe, Travis Shaw, the big dude, the penetrator. And that kind of carried over throughout the entire depth chart too, but those were the first two.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to say Burke. Burke caught my eye because you know who he is. You know, he's been around, he's been in the program forever. He's the tallest guy out there pretty much, but he looks a lot leaner. He lost some of that dad bod. That kind of typified his first couple of years. He looked great. D tackles, Hero Canoe and Travis Shaw. You know, coaches were talking up Travis Shaw yesterday, and we've been talking up Hero Canoe as far as being a program guy, one of Torrey Becton's favorite guys. The coaches are always going to defer to who Becton likes. That's an interesting pairing. You can see how it works within the penetrator versus the two-gapper, the space-eater dichotomy. That's an interesting pairing. That just makes the second team pairing really athletic. The second team has probably more athletic upside than the first team.
Yeah, Alex January, Cole Brevard. It's a lot of fun watching a defensive tackle room that they really think could be three deep, especially even when you move to Melvin Hills and Merod Watson. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Merod Watson was running with the threes. I got new glasses. Well, I couldn't tell if it was zero.
Merod came in late, right? He wasn't here during the spring, and that's kind of why he's there. But I keep it's funny because we're talking about defensive tackles. I keep thinking about the Pat Green song "Wave on Wave," where it's just one wave after another. I don't think that would be their pump up music before the games, but it kind of fits in my mind of what we expect to see, one wave after another of big bodies. If all else fails, all those guys play very hard and are big. They're going to wear out offensive lines.
One last note, I think, is that Justice Terry, they trust him a lot, and they're trusting him with working at two different positions. I think putting him at Jack and letting him also grow, I'm right there with you. I'm going to doubt 268 as officially listed on the roster.
No.
But they're going to let him work a little bit at both positions, Jack and defensive tackle. Was working with Alan Clark, was also working with Kenny Baker, Pete Witkowski a little bit as well.
We got to keep in mind that edge is probably the deepest position on the team, and it might be the best positional unit in the entire country, regardless of the position. And so they're trying to figure out ways to get these guys involved. I'm not sure how it's going to work, because you got Lance Jackson on one side and you got Justice Terry on the other. They're going to have to figure out a way to get these guys on the field because they're too good, and frankly, they're too expensive to not play. But man, there's a lot of bodies there. That whole defensive front, they've got 12 guys that can play on the defensive front right now. It's insane.
Before we keep going, got to show some love to our sponsor.
Hi, I want to tell you about Laura Baker. If you're looking for a new home in the 512 or even at this point, let's face it, 737 area code, there's only one number to call. That's Laura Baker at 512-784-0505. As a member of the elite Andy Allen team with Keller Williams, Laura has helped Longhorns find the home of their dreams in Central Texas. Just ask our resident sex symbol, Ian Boyd, who moved all the way from Michigan to Texas with Laura's help. Laura can help you find what you're looking for in the 512, the 737, or even parts of the 254 and the 210. Just, give her a call at 512-784-0505. Her email is in the description as well as the rest of her contact details. She's a friend. Give her a call.
We'll keep going. Make one stop at special teams just because that's where Texas seems to make their stops. In the middle of practice, kick returner, Ryan Niblett, DeAndre Moore, Dalen McCutcheon, walk-on Red Anderson. Those are the names we've been hearing. Chris Jackson said something today, I overheard him say, and it was basically, as long as you catch the ball, that's your first job, mm-hmm. and you're doing something right. And those guys seem to be able to not only have earned the coach's trust, but maybe do some stuff with the football as well.
Well, trust is the key word there. You want to be able to convert the punt catch. That's first and foremost, right? We've had some very hairy moments in the past with some boom or bust players. They want certainty at punt return. Right now, they feel really good about DeAndre Moore, Ryan Niblett back there as well. Now, I did hear that ball touch a couple players' pads a little bit more than I would have liked to. You want to cradle it. There's definitely talent back there. First and foremost, whoever the coaches trust the most, that's who's going to get the job.
Moving to offense, anything from Arch Manning? I know we hear so much about him, but was there anything really to glean from watching him go through air, go against scout defense, anything like that?
He looked pretty sharp. I saw him with one errant pass. You expect a little bit more of that. Yeah, he looked good. His footwork is, everything looked in sync. At one point, he threw a bomb to Parker Livingstone that was right on time. Everything was perfect. The footwork, the execution, the timing. Before the ball was even caught, Steve Sarkisian yelled out loud just to no one in general, "I love this shit, man." He was all into it. You could see he was really excited about the first day he saw from Arch. Some of the other quarterbacks to be expected were a little bit rusty or a little bit off, but Arch looked really good. And Parker Livingstone, his mate on that big bomb, looked really good on a number of other plays as well.
Moving around the offensive line, I think we kind of knew what four would look like from left to right. We knew that there would be a battle at right tackle. We're not going to learn anything about this guy's making a move here. But when you're looking at Kojo, looking at Baker, what did you take away from watching those two today?
Well, when I saw the offensive line, my number one thing was, okay, this is going about pretty much how we expected. But Trevor Goosby caught my eye. He is absolutely massive. He's athletic. I mean, he's a better prototypical left tackle. If you're just drawing it up on paper than Kelvin Banks, I'm not saying he's better than Kelvin Banks or anything crazy like that. But when you just see him and see how he moves, it's just he's got top 10 draft pick all over him. But I think Brandon Baker's going to start. I'm kind of downplaying the coaches calling that a real battle. Andre Kojo has come a long way. There's no doubt about that. I just think Baker's more likely to start.
As far as tight end, Jack Endries, Jordan Washington, Jeff Banks talked yesterday about how there's a lot of different body types, and that seems to really be evident with the guys yeah. that they have there.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the funniest visuals I have in my mind from today was seeing Emery Winston standing next to Goosby. Now, Winston is not a small guy, but he's not a tall guy either. He's very wide. The difference between him and Goosby was pretty stark. At some point, we're going to see that on our television set, and I'll make the same visual observation. Jordan Washington is massive. He's huge. I don't know why he's so big. You know, we knew he's tall. He's just huge. He's a big guy. Like, he's probably carrying – he might be carrying 10 pounds more than he needs to. Other than the fact that it could aid his blocking. Now, he came in with a reputation as being a very good wide receiver. We didn't get to see him moving around that much in that aspect. But if he's still moving around like he did in high school at that size, then they're onto something extremely special. One thing, you know, the very first play in offense versus scout team defense, the very first play was a bootleg to Jack Endries. Endries looks very comfortable. And it reminded me of something a source told us about how they're force-feeding the Arch Manning-Jack Endries relationship, trying to expedite that. And it was kind of funny to me that, you know, the very first play of that team portion was going to Endries.
I think it's very interesting to see that if you ever shook Jordan Washington's hand during the recruiting process, yeah. He made the trip to Austin a lot. We'd see him at those events, and he'd be outside Moncrief. And, you know, this hand doesn't look that big compared to Jordan Washington's. Yeah. It's really
Some
impressive.
Some of these guys will make you feel small. But, you know, one thing from that offensive portion, though, you know, they were working the ball to the wide receiver or to the running backs in the passing game quite a bit. This wasn't checkdowns or anything like that. There was a lot of perimeter passing and screens. And, you know, all four of the expected running backs, the guys that we expect to play a lot this year, were catching the ball, looking good. Christian Clark, obviously. Trey Wisner getting the start. And, you know, C.J. Baxter looks like the – kind of a co-starter at this point, even though he's just coming back from injury.
It was one other thing, and we'll see what happens as they put more pads on. It was just helmets, and they call them spiders, which is kind of like lacrosse pads, nothing that big. Nobody had a green jersey on. Maybe if someone was being held out in the old Pat Moore's old pit, I wasn't able to see it. But everybody seems healthy. Everybody was participating. There's nobody standing on the sideline just waiting. There were some guys who weren't full participants. Jonah, Derek, the Williamses. I'm sure C.J. Baxter had some limitations in what he was able to do, but he didn't have a green jersey. They didn't tell him, don't touch this guy, don't go near yeah. him. Maybe that's something that progresses as camp comes along, and maybe it's something that progresses as even tomorrow comes along. So anything else before about 24 hours from now, we're right back at it?
No, looking forward to practice. I feel like, you know, we picked up some insight that maybe we didn't have before, and then had some other things that we've been talking about for a while confirmed. Of course, it's the first day. A lot of things are going to change. We're going to see guys move around. We're not certain that Grayson Littleton is going to start his first game in his career at a mentally demanding position in the shoe. So we'll see how that goes. And then the defensive tackle rotation, that's not set in stone either. There's a lot to learn. Day one was fun. Maybe a few errors here and there. Obviously, the coaches are getting the younger players up to speed, coaching them hard. A lot of energy, a lot of expectations, a lot of size, a lot of length, a lot of talent. The team is poised to make a run for sure.
Going to be a lot of fun to track. We'll track it all up right here. Make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel. Of course, go to InsideTexas.com. There is a link in the description. $1 gets you 7 days of access. We're going to have all the intel from these next couple of days. We get access tomorrow for sure to practice. I think we may get some on Friday. We'll have more than just what we see from these viewing periods, a lot of insider notes. This is really where Inside Texas does its best work over the course of the entire season. It kind of starts from here and keeps it going and going. And we'll see if the team and a team does the same thing. It seems like they're primed to do that as well. So, Eric, thank you. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com.